Kids, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. France will play neighbor Belgium Tuesday in the first semifinal at the World Cup football tournament in Russia. Belgium's Spanish manager is describing it as a fantastic matchup, as we hear now from reporter Samson Omale in Moscow. Sporty World Cup greetings, Samson!
Sporty Monday World Cup greetings to you, Sonny. A total of 60 of the 64 matches have been played so far at the 2018 World Cup, with 157 goals scored and four teams left to square each other out in the run for a place in the finals. Belgium will meet France in the first semi-finals that has been dubbed the finals before the finals at the 2018 Mondial at the magnificent St. Petersburg Stadium, in what the Belgian manager Roberto Martinez has described as a phenomenal match.
I think it's the game of the tournament. I think if you look at Germany leaving the tournament quite early, Spain, then the world ranking shows that Brazil are number two, Belgium number three. So you're going to get a really good encounter because both teams are very similar in styles. We rely both in attacking teams, scoring goals. Should be a very open game, and a game where probably the moment that you wanted this game to be played could be in a different stage of the tournament. But I think that's probably the beautiful aspect of this game, that it comes in a moment of the World Cup that I think it shows what this Russia 2018 World Cup has been, a phenomenal tournament with unexpected events. And now we just want to make sure that we are at our best to face the best team in the history of the World Cup.
The second semi-final will see England fairy tale tested when they meet Croatia at the imposing Luzhniki Stadium in Moscow on Wednesday, 11th of July 2018. Gareth Southgate is the England manager.
It is so united, and their level of work's been great, their commitment to each other. You don't get through with just 11 players, and some of the guys haven't had a lot of time on the pitch, but their mentality to training, the people like Jones, Cahill, Welbeck, top people, and that's they're as big a reason as we're in the semi-final as any other. Managers that have got to semi-finals before, people I hugely respect, and to be involved with the team now at this stage is an incredible feeling.
So with the four semi-finalists already known and ready to go, are there any surprises? Here are the perspectives of some journalists covering the World Cup.
Actually, the surprise team is England. Personally, I didn't expect them to get that far. Honestly, I think they've started reaping the benefits of having the best players from around the world playing in their league.
The surprise has to be Croatia. The other three I expected Belgium, because of the quality they have across. France have improved as the tournament has progressed, and we also had the quality to get where they are now. England, after years of underachievement, the one thing they've always lacked is a good tactician. And I think in Gareth Southgate, they managed to find the right manager.
Of course, England is a surprise team. We didn't expect England to reach this far. I think they've been riding their luck, and also taking opportunities that come their way.
Russia's most capped player, Sergei Ignatovich, announced his retirement from soccer on Sunday after the hosts were eliminated by Croatia on penalties in the World Cup quarterfinals hours earlier. The 38-year-old defender, who spent his entire club career at Russian clubs, was a key member of Russia's run to the last eight at their home tournament, having played in each of their five matches. According to World Soccer governing body FIFA, he earned a total of 127 caps, scoring 9 goals and holding the record for the most international appearances by any Russian player. A Kenyan linesman who has been due to officiate at the World Cup in Russia has been handed a life ban after being caught in a bribery sting. Aden Marar was filmed receiving a $600 bribe during the African Nations Championship in Morocco in January, and is one of the 22 referees sanctioned by the Confederation of African Football in an unprecedented cleanup announced at the weekend. Russia President Vladimir Putin has said that his country's hosting of the Soccer World Cup has helped debunk stereotypes about it. Russia's host nation status had been met with resistance by some in the West, who suggested the tournament could be unsafe and play into the hands of Putin, who stands accused by Washington of conducting malign activities around the world. But the month-long tournament, which ends on July the 15th, has so far been without major security incidents, and most visiting fans have spoken of a positive experience. For visiting journalists who had a mindset before they embarked on their trips to Russia, what has changed for them?
I can say that the stereotypes are misplaced. They are things that somebody needs to come to Russia and visit Russia and verify for themselves. Because I think some of those things have been taken out of context and even out of proportion. So it's just to say that you come to Russia and meet the people, talk to the people, and see the kind of people they are. Some of those things that you are told about the media before you visit Russia, not necessarily true.
A lot had been said about the tournament coming to Russia. Not so many people thought Russia would put up such an organized event. A lot had been talked about. A lot of Western media had painted Russia as a death trap. A lot of racism should expect. And as you've seen, in England, I've had fewer fans coming here. But I'm very certain most of them are regretting why they chose to abandon the tournament, because now tickets, it's impossible to get a ticket.
So generally, I think the Russian people are good people, except for one incident where I encountered someone who had never met an African. And the lady at the supermarket was really shocked to see a tall, dark guy. And she was telling a fellow Russian, what happened to this guy's skin? I thought everyone was born white.
From Moscow here in Russia, I am Samson Omale.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. As the World Cup nears its climax on July 15th, one of the players being cheered on in Africa is 19-year-old French striker Kylian Mbappe. Mbappe's mother is from Algeria, and his father is from Cameroon. While Cameroon failed to qualify for this year's World Cup, many Cameroonians feel they are represented by Mbappe. Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from Douala, Cameroon.
Music is blasting from loudspeakers at a popular bar in Makepe, a neighborhood in Cameroon's economic capital, Douala. Until last week, the bar was called Terminus. But when France beat Argentina 4-3 at the World Cup in Russia, the bar was rebaptized Mbappe in honor of the French striker Kylian Mbappe, who scored 2 spectacular goals in the game. Bar manager Marcel Lenny says he wishes Cameroon's national team had a player like Mbappe.
France, they're performing very well. And if you see them qualifying, it's because of Kylian Mbappe. I wish our football federation could have called him to play for us in the national team. When you look at our own national team, you see there is something missing of which Mbappe has.
Mbappe has a Cameroonian father who is his agent and an Algerian mother. He is one of 15 players on the French squad who were either born in Africa or can trace their roots back to the continent, part of which France ruled at one time as a colonial power. Mbappe became a professional player in Monaco at the age of 16, just 3 years ago. He has never lived nor played in Cameroon, but his performances attracted the attention of the Cameroon Football Federation, and he was contacted to play for the national team, nicknamed the Indomitable Lions. But French coach Didier Deschamps already had keen eyes for him. Soccer analyst and former Cameroon Premier League player Gabriel Tiller says it is a great loss that Cameroon failed to get Mbappe to play for his father's homeland.
Mbappé est un joueur vraiment talentueux. Il fallait des gens comme ça pour jouer dans l'équipe camerounaise.
He says they needed Mbappe to bring Cameroon's football back to glory, but unfortunately, their local football federation neglected him. He says it is a shame that Cameroon abandoned football star Mbappe to France at a time when Central African States football has taken a downward turn due to a lack of talented players. Cameroon's national team is the African champion, but the squad was eliminated from the race to the 2018 World Cup after a 1-1 tie last year with Nigeria. Local football fans say if they had players like Kylian Mbappe, they would have performed better. Nonetheless, thousands of Cameroonian World Cup fans will be glued to their TV sets to cheer on Mbappe, who they see as a fellow countryman playing for a nation with deep ties to Cameroon. Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Douala, Cameroon.
Thanks, Moki. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori watched the World Cup quarterfinal victories by France and Belgium in Antwerp, Belgium. And Kwabena had a chance to chat with fans with ties to Liberia and Ghana. The Liberian-Belgian Biggie Smalls tells Kwabena he's delighted by France's semifinal appearance.
Oh yes, it was a very nice game. I'm very pleased to see the French team through. Actually, they have the quality, and especially the team is full of our African players. And you know, so I can say it's the only African team remaining because no African team could make it to the knockout stage. So actually, seeing France playing like this and seeing them, and you know, going all the way to this, how to call it, to this stage, I am very, very happy, and I wish them all the best. I think they deserve it.
What are the possibilities for France to lift the cup?
Oh, they have a lot of possibilities because at this stage, everything is possible. Semi-final, after semi-final, it's final. So everything is possible, and France is a big team, filled with a lot of players playing for big, big teams, so they have experience. I hope that it could be their year, because they are really performing well, and I wish them good luck.
Well, Biggie Smalls is wishing the French team good luck at the World Cup, the Ghanaian-Belgian Kwaku Boma is celebrating Belgium making it to the last four.
No, we are feeling very, very, very happy, excited, and we are full of enjoyment for what Belgium has done today.
How was the whole game, Brazil versus Belgium?
You know, we know that Belgium has a team, and we were hopeful we were going to win. But of course, Brazil is a very strong team, so we were still going in with some fear. But later on, when the match started, we felt that, yes, the Belgians were in control, so we were going to win the match, yeah. 100%.
Yeah, weren't you afraid during the last minutes when they were pressing?
Oh, yes, there was a serious tension. My friend said he wanted to go to the bathroom. People were feeling very, you know, nervous, but Brazil is a team, you know, it's a Brazil, we know. But yes, but now with Brazil out, I think the only strongest team among is France. We are not afraid of England, we are not afraid of Croatia. So I think with Brazil out, Belgium stands a chance to win.
So what's the final ultimate, the winning the trophy?
Now we are very hopeful, we are strongly determined. Belgium is going to win the cup for the first time.
That's Kwaku Boma, a Ghanaian-Belgian football fan, saying Belgium will lift the World Cup for the first time on July 15th in Moscow. And Kwaku made his prediction while talking with reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Antwerp, Belgium. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. By the time the World Cup is over in Russia, 64 matches will have taken place at 12 venues in 11 cities. For many people in Nizhny Novgorod, Russia, one of the cities staging the games, The month-long football festival has been the biggest party in decades. VOA's Mariama Jallo reports.
For many, the experience of meeting people from all over the world has been one of the highlights of the World Cup events. Since the tournament opened, 21-year-old waitress Lina Tikomirova has served customers from South Korea to Argentina, something she says has changed her life.
It changed a lot in my relation to foreigners. I made a lot of new friends. I practiced my English. It's really cool. It seems to me that the city changed too. This place is more cheerful now. It is lively.
62-year-old taxi driver Gennady says for decades the city has been a center for military and nuclear research. Today, it's very different.
It is really good, a lot of tourism, and a lot of driving to hotels, the airport, and the railway station. People come and go. I meet them, I drive them. Everyone is very polite. After the matches, they sit and drink beer. And then they are very cheerful in the car.
Street musicians Vadim Arkhipov and Konstantin Pekyanov have enjoyed every bit of it, but they are saddened the party must eventually come to an end.
We will never see something like this in our life again. This is the celebration of all celebrations. So many people, so many foreigners, so many customs, and so much for people to enjoy. It's great. I'm simply happy.
And while most people who live in this Russian city have enjoyed the World Cup festivities, it's been a life-changing event for at least one resident. Lina Tikhomirova says as much as she loves her country, she's now considering studying abroad to learn about new cultures and to make new friends. Mariama Jallo, VOA News.
Thanks, Mariama. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. An update now on the Wimbledon tennis tournament in London. Roger Federer and Serena Williams with 15 Wimbledon singles titles between them, both advanced easily to the quarterfinals on Monday. Serena, bidding for her eighth Wimbledon trophy, defeated Russia's Evgenia Rodina in straight sets 6-2 and 6-2. And Federer, hoping for a record-extending ninth Wimbledon crown, beat Frenchman Adrian Mannarino in straight sets 6-love, 7-5, and 6-4. With more on Federer, here's my VOA colleague, Gwen Ooten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Roger Federer spoke to reporters ahead of Monday's match and said going against athletes like Mannarino requires a bit of strategy.
It will be a lefty. Will be much more of a strategic match, I believe, the way Mannarino plays. So some moments where it can be frustrating, you know, because you're not finding any rhythm. And at times, you know, you're more reacting than, you know, playing active tennis, but it's okay.
Monday's win was Federer's 99th career victory at Wimbledon. And Federer said he was no less motivated going for number 99 than it would be if it was 100.
Title number 100 or 99 here or there, it doesn't matter. Honestly, I've been in much bigger matches or bigger occasions in the past, so I don't think it would have had any impact if I was going for number 99 here now or number 100, for me anyhow. I think it would have been a nice story for you guys, but for me, nothing changed.
Federer has won a record-extending 35 consecutive sets at Wimbledon. Over the weekend, Spain's Rafael Nadal advanced to the round of 16, defeating Australia's Alex de Minaur 6-1, 6-2, 6-4. The win ensures Nadal will keep his world number one ranking, and after the match, Nadal told reporters that is just fine by him.
Of course, I prefer to be number one than number two. There's no doubt about this, but I really don't came here to hold number one. I just came here to try to do the best tournament possible. And of course, it's very positive to be already in the second week, winning three matches. And that's it. Just happy the way that I played during the first week.
Nadal continues his perfect run at this tournament. He has yet to drop a set in three matches. Serbian Novak Djokovic came back from a sluggish start to defeat Kyle Edmund of Great Britain 4-6, 6-3, 6-2, 6-4. Djokovic has also advanced to the round of 16. However, Germany's Alexander Zverev wasn't so lucky. The fourth seed suffered a stunning third-round exit to Latvian qualifier Ernests Gulbis, 7-6, 4-6, 5-7, 6-3, 6-0. On the women's side, as Sunny mentioned, American Serena Williams defeated Russia's Evgenia Rodina in what was a rare meeting of mom versus mom. Well, it's considered rare at the moment, but it could soon happen at greater frequency, with more women on the tennis tour becoming mothers. This year, the All England Club featured half a dozen mothers in the singles main draw. 20 players on the men's side are fathers. And there seems to be an upset bug running rampant through this tournament, particularly in the women's bracket. And over the weekend, another top seed tumbled. World number one Simona Halep of Romania, fresh off her French Open victory, lost in a surprising third-round defeat to Taiwan's Shea Suey, 3-6, 6-4, 7-5. In her Friday press conference, Serena Williams was asked how she feels about the surprise upsets that includes her sister, Venus.
A lot of the top players are losing, but they're losing to girls that are playing outstanding. So I think, if anything, it shows me every moment that I can't underestimate any of these ladies. They are just going out there swinging and playing for broke.
And just quickly, have you heard from Venus at all?
Yeah, I saw her in the locker room, and she's in good spirits. She's so professional and so amazing.
At his press conference, Rafa Nadal was also asked to explain the reason for so many upsets, and Rafa chalked it up to grass.
It's about the surface. It's a tricky surface because we don't play very often in this surface, so all the matches are dangerous, and the matches decides in just a few balls. It's a big difference between clay than here, for example. Then in clay you have time, here you don't have time. Probably here, if you don't have a big, big serve, you can't save. You can feel yourself safe enough.
I'll have more tennis action tomorrow. Sunny, I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Of the four teams left at the World Cup football tournament in Russia, only France and England have won previous world titles, and they both did it at home. The French lifted the World Cup 20 years ago in 1998 when they hosted the tournament, as did the English in 1966 at Wembley Stadium in London. Belgium last made it this far in 1986, England in 1990, and Croatia in 1998, making it this far to the semifinals. Croatia's head coach, Zlatko Dalic, correctly points out how the big teams are now home, and he's referring to Germany, Brazil, Spain, Argentina, and Portugal. If our VOA World Cup fans are keeping score, that's the defending World Cup champion, the all-time trophy holder, a global titan, a five-time finalist, and the defending European winner. Describing the character of the four teams left at Russia 2018, Coach Dalic says they're hardworking, compact, united, and well-organized. England's Harry Kane remains the World Cup's top goal scorer with 6 goals. There have been 157 goals scored in 60 matches so far for an average of 2.62 goals per match. And there's also been 11 own goals in the tournament, breaking the record of 6 set at the 1998 World Cup in France. And the World Cup champion will go home with a first prize of $38 million. Once again, the World Cup final will be played July 15th in Moscow. And that wraps up the July 9th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nashwan Kali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Over the past 5 years, the Feed the Future Nigeria Livelihoods Project has helped pull some of the most vulnerable families in Nigeria out of poverty. This U.S. government foreign assistance program has helped Nigerians improve agricultural production, income generation, nutrition, and sanitation. The $22.6 million program in Nigeria began in 2013 and concluded just last month. Administered by the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, and implemented by Catholic Relief Services, the program initially helped 42,000 poor households in Abuja, Nigeria's capital, Kebbi, and Sokoto states to increase agricultural production, diversify incomes, and improve nutrition. It also provided livelihoods planning skills, adult literacy and numeracy instruction, and cash transfers to the most vulnerable households. In 2017, the program expanded to Adamawa, Borno, and Yobe states, reaching 10,000 more households. This project took a holistic approach to agriculture, to livelihoods, and to social development, said USAID Mission Director Stephen Hagen. It addressed the needs of the extreme poor by improving incomes and reducing vulnerabilities, and in this way serving as a model for efforts to build resilience in rural Nigeria. The USAID program introduced new technology, improving agricultural production and access to input markets such as quality seeds for smallholder farmers. As a result, crop yields doubled for more than 33,000 farmers. The program also helped farmers to reduce post-harvest losses. The activity engaged poor households in the rural economy by providing business skills and financial literacy support, vocational trainings and lending schemes, and safe spaces for adolescent girls. Additionally, more than 2,000 community workers were trained to deliver over 1.5 million counseling and group sessions on nutrition that led to a 22% drop in stunting, 10% drop in wasting, and 53% increase in exclusive breastfeeding rates in targeted locations. A cash transfer component alone helped lift 2,740 households out of poverty. State and local governments have shown positive support towards sustaining the gains from the program. The U.S. is proud to work with its partner Nigeria to improve the lives of the Nigerian people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, friends. This is Sunday Shomari, host of Let's Talk. Join me Monday for another exciting edition of your show.
Next on Let's Talk, football in Africa.
This is next Monday at 7:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the 31st African Union Summit has wrapped up in Mauritania with advisory decisions on Libya, Somalia and South Sudan. The significance of the African Union with Deputy Chairperson Kwesi Kwarti on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, sports fans. This is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports.
I love Sunny Side of Sports.
Please join us for a whole half hour of sports talk and news Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC GMT. On the internet, you can like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and read my blog. Visit voaafrica.com and enjoy the show.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.